This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We have been very star-centric, and we'll dive back into the stars a lot more tomorrow as well. But I think because of that, we haven't really talked a whole lot about the rest of the NBA and NHL playoffs. And I want to take the opportunity to do that right now. Do you want hockey first, or do you want basketball first?
Let's go with some basketball. I watched some basketball last night for the first time in quite some time.
Okay, which game had the majority of your interest?
I didn't see the entirety of the comeback for the Knicks. I saw the end of the game, though. And okay. That was an exceptional ending in overtime, even though it could have ended with Jalen Brunson putting one in the bucket to end the game
it
early.
It looked like it was in.
It should have been, man. It really should have. And what's really interesting about this was, did you see the time that he threw the pass out of bounds?
Yeah.
And then stared his teammate down for not being where he threw? I thought he made a bad pass.
Right.
But he was just like, and I can't tell if he was mad at him. And then he goes and misses that shot. And I'm like, all right, so are you going to stare yourself down? And he just stood there and smiled. And I was like, all right, you really got to be as hard on yourself as you are on everybody else. And then, you know, they end up winning that one ultimately. But that was a very fun ending because I hate the Celtics right now.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead and give me cut number one, because Jalen Brunson did turn it on in the fourth quarter.
Taking his time, 10 to shoot. What's the play here? Brunson waiting, screen on the left from Towns, rejects it, steps back, right wing three, good for the lead! Jalen Brunson kisses three fingers for the crowd, and the Knicks have their first advantage since the second quarter.
Jalen Brunson, 29 points, which has kind of become run of the mill for him. And it's interesting because Timberwolves and Warriors tonight, Minnesota is 6.5-point favorites. Every single road dog won in game one.
Really?
Of the conference semifinals.
Interesting.
And like in all of these cases, they were like massive underdogs. Like the Timberwolves Warriors game, that's the closest spread of any of them. The Celtics were like a 9 or 10 point favorite. The Cavs were an 8 point favorite, give or take. And I think the Nuggets were 9.5 point underdogs to the Thunder. But if you give me cut number two, that is not how that game ended.
Second free throw, Holmgren. Missed it again. Rebound down to Christian Brown. You got to hurry. 8-7 seconds. Front court over to Westbrook. Left side, Gordon for the win. Yeah! 2.8 seconds left. Coming back the other way. Williams from half court. Baked it, no good at the horn. And the Denver Nuggets shock the Oklahoma City Thunder in game number one. Final tonight, 121-119.
Did you see Aaron Gordon's quote after the game?
Yeah.
When I shot it, did I know it was in? Question mark. I knew it wasn't a miss.
I like that.
Especially, I do too.
Especially he had that the dunk the other night, and Jokic was like, I knew it was off as soon as I it left my hands. And he was
yes.
They had to clean up for him. So
yes,
I like that.
Absolutely. And you know what? Speaking of Jokic, now he had quite a few turnovers as well. I think he had like 5 or 6 turnovers as well. So I have no doubt he's going to go back to the drawing board on that. But 42 points and 22 rebounds.
Losing a step, though, with these turnovers, huh?
That's true.
Man, he only had 6 assists.
It did not have a triple-double right there.
When you're making a play like that where you're putting, is it the total of his stats, like
yeah.
Points and rebounds and everything? When you're making a play like that, do you go with him, what's the number you kind of say that's too low or that's too high?
So usually around 52. On the total, I'll go after it. So if you're looking at making a play on Jokic, I like making the play on his points, rebounds, and assists combined as opposed to just his points, because he'll have nights where he'll get like 18 points, but we'll also have 18 rebounds and 17 assists. And you're like, how the hell did that happen? But yeah, so last night, his total line would have been 80. And I think the over-under was, or excuse me, the higher or lower was 51.5. So of course you take the higher.
Gotcha, okay.
All right.
Aaron Gordon, as far as he goes, like, Denver loves him.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Jokic loves him.
Yeah, he arrived to that city, and that team had a piece that they needed. Like, they needed a player as explosive and athletic as him. And then whenever they won their championship, he's running around through the city shirtless and everything, having a great time. But, like, that place, when he does this, and it's good to see that that's working for him in these playoffs as they're moving, because, Kevin, isn't the feeling that Denver just fell off a little bit?
Lot? And see, that's what's interesting about this Denver team is their depth is still, like, not so good. But it kind of feels like they're like, and let's just go for it and let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
All of our players play, you know, a ton of minutes. Because realistically, they play, what, 7 players? I mean, I know they can go 8 or 9 deep. For the most part, it feels like they play 7 players.
Okay, yeah.
And so, Wow. Yeah, it's interesting that they're like, depth is stupid. Let's just keep leaning on all of our best players and see what happens. Do you have a feel for Warriors Timberwolves, because we also get Pacers Cavs game 2 tonight. I have to admit, like, I'm not quite as in on that series. Maybe I'll disagree. But Warriors Timberwolves, what are we thinking?
This is a very fun series because Steph is still doing Steph things in moments, sure, right? Where he's just like, all right, it's time for me to take over. But Anthony Edwards now looks more serious than he did. Even last year.
I agree.
Even coming into the season, he was like, I don't want to be the face of the league. I just want to go hoop.
You might have to be now.
And now he's turning into that point where he's just like, I'm just beating everybody. Was it Randy Orton tweeted out the Legend Killer chain that he was handing over to Anthony Edwards? And I thought that was pretty cool because he has been taking them down one after another. And here's another legend on the way to that. So my feel for it is it's going to be a long series. I don't think it's going to be one that ends very quickly.
And I think I said 80-point rebound and assist for Jokic. It was 70. My apologies for that.
Great.
Now, I've got a gambling note for you guys.
All right.
This dude put down $50 before last year's Stanley Cup final. Here was his parlay. Panthers to beat the Oilers. Hit. Guardians to win the AL Central. Yep. Phillies to win the NL East. Yep. Chiefs to win the AFC West. Yep. Texans to win the AFC South, Eagles to win the NFC East, and then Ohio State to win the college football playoff. The last thing he has to go.
Say it's not the Stars.
No, that would be amazing. Is the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the championship? If they do, he turns $50 into $70,000.
Wow. That's... Dude, parlays are fun. If you're getting that. Because like, it's $50.
Yes.
And maybe that's my monthly expenditure in gambling, right? Or plays. But it's $50. And you could just turn it into something even bigger. And all on the way, you're watching stuff that you're excited about watching, too. Like, all those things that happen, you're probably interested in watching whether or not anyway. And now you got a little extra juice to go with it. That's a really fun play.
Cash out option, $19,000.
I'd do it. I mean,
if you didn't have kids, like, let's just say you didn't have kids, you didn't have to worry about like college and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'd still do it? Because like, that's a crap ton of money.
Yeah, and this last thing here is, I mean, I'm probably taking the 19 and then reinvesting it some way to, you know, make that kind of same thing. But the last one, if I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, right, is the Thunder.
Yes.
If I'm the Thunder, then I'm like, I'm sticking with it. But
sure,
I'm not.
Sure.
You know, that being said, if I just really need the adrenaline rush of watching the NBA Finals and Oklahoma City's in it, then I'm absolutely excited that I kept that thing around. So that's I would probably sell it, though, for 19. That'd be all right with me.
Alec, you got $50 you put on the line. If OKC wins the title, you get $70,000. You can cash out now for 19. What do you do?
There's a lot of things I would do for $19,000 right now, so I'm cashing out. I don't know. I mean, you name anything pretty much. I'm probably going to do it at this point.
Holy moly. Right. If you were a diehard OKC fan, though, like, let's say you were Ruben. Do you think Ruben would ride it out?
Oh, yes. He absolutely would. There's a pride factor in that for him at that point. For me, I'm like, my pride is in $19,000. That's
okay,
what I'm taking.
That's fair. Now, on the hockey front, you just build them up so they have a bigger fall. For the first time since 2004, there are not one, not two, but 3 Canadian teams in the final eight. Do you think
and
it
Toronto
will...
took it to Florida last night and then almost lost
it? Yes. Yes, they did. Do you think that will make it all the more exciting when inevitably they lose the Stanley Cup again?
For you, and obviously when the Stars win it, like that's the big deal.
Exactly.
Dude, the Stars could technically take all three of those teams down.
Yes. You could beat the Jets in this round, the Oilers in the next round, and then the Maple Leafs. Holy moly. Let me tell you something right now. If it's Stars and Maple Leafs in the final, that Stanley Cup rating will be off the hook for Canada.
Because of Toronto?
Yeah, that is the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL in terms of they have a humongous fan base. They can be polarizing to some people, ton of money involved, and they haven't won in a long time.
On our front, then, on the American fan base front, are they as hated then in that respect where the American fan base will be watching it going, dude, they're the worst.
And that is one difference because I feel like you can find any NFL fan base and they have some fans that don't care for the Cowboys. I don't think you see like a whole bunch of Coyotes fans who are like, you know who I really can't stand?
The
damn
Leafs.
Toronto, stupid Mike Myers. And I don't know if that is the case whatsoever.
Especially the Coyotes, they don't like, there's no trees in Arizona. Look, they're just cacti.
I don't think that the then Coyotes turned, well, I mean, obviously.
They're Utah now.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously they don't care about anything because they moved.
Are they the Mammoth now?
That is not official. I know that slipped on the YouTube channel, and they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, back in the day, Coyotes fans didn't care about anything. I just don't think the Utah people probably are super heated about, like, Toronto and stuff.
You know
stuff.
What, though? The one thing around here and in most of the country, the one thing we can definitely get behind is we all hate raking leaves. So we can use that if we go up against them. Like, we all hate leaves for that purpose.
All right, interesting. So
but we got to get there first, Kevin.
All right. Toronto won game one. Do they make it to the conference final?
Oh, that's a tough series. I think it's going to be a long one. I think it's going to be a long series, too. I don't think so. I think Florida takes them down.
Okay. Ooh. What about...
Get all those rats on the ice.
What about Vegas and Edmonton?
Vegas-Edmonton...
That should be fun.
Let me just use the Brian Ray term then. Coin flip for me on that one.
Okay.
But you're right. That should be an absolutely fun series between those two because some very potent offense and some very strong hitting defense there too.
Are those the last two teams the Stars lost the Western Conference Final to?
I think so.
And so theoretically then they would have to play if you can beat Winnipeg. You'd have to play one of them again, get a chance to exercise the demons, and then Capitals, Hurricanes.
I have no feel for that one right now yet, Kevin, so I'll just say Capitals are taking that one down.
Because of Ovi?
Ovi. Gotta love. I mean, what he accomplished this year. And right now he's not just standing around taking his one-timers, you know? Now he's like, you know what? I'm actually committed to this thing again.
Now, this was prior to Game 1 of Toronto and Florida, so no doubt this has shifted a little bit. But the betting odds to win the Stanley Cup, Florida was installed as the co-favorites along with the Dallas Stars. So obviously, as of this morning, then the Dallas Stars are the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, which we said would probably be the case if you beat Colorado. Just like if Colorado would have beaten the Stars, they would have been the favorite to win the Stanley Cup final. And so the Stars, they have prevailed in Game 7 with a huge third period comeback, and now favored to win the championship. You know what's interesting about that? The Jets are tied for last at 10-1. And this is a team, and we talked about this going in. They're the best record in the NHL. Now, if you put aside the curses and everything like that, you would think best record in the NHL equals that's one of your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, people have seen Shaky Hellebuck, and they're like, now tied for last.
And plus that song, right?
What song are you...
The one that we all know that we hate.
Song? We want the Stanley
Cup. We want the Stanley Cup. That's my fault. I'm sorry, guys. That is definitely my fault for A, bringing this to the world, and B, revisiting the... Are you playing her version of it? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
The more I hear it, the more the people that said Kidz Bop, I'm definitely with them on that. Kidz Bop or M-Bop?
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of those for sure. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
The question of the day, plus will that stupid song come back? Find out next
on
the Fan.
Oh, KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Tomorrow, going to be a big day. Alec, how confident are we about our second guest?
I'm very confident.
All right, tomorrow.
Bochy will be the number two guest on the show. Now,
we're going to have Bruce Bochy on the show as well as Paige Beckers.
Oh, really? I knew that. I don't know why I acted like that. I knew that we were going to have her on the show. I'm excited.
Do you want to give a preview of that question you just told me?
Yeah. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, I do.
All right. Asia Wilson, she's the best WNBA player out there right now, right?
Yes.
Asia Wilson said the best advice she has for you is to ask questions and be a sponge. Do you have any questions for us? Because she said ask questions. So what questions would you like to ask us? We're from Dallas. We know a lot about Dallas. We can help you out.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how that goes. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. We got the question of the day incoming. 877-881-1053. The Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer that question of the day, as well as Twitch and YouTube. Plus, going to take a look at some of the news and notes from what I often call the most expensive weekend of the year.
Oh, is it coming up?
It just happened.
WrestleMania weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you were trying to sit anywhere near the ring, yeah, absolutely. Or SummerSlam, if you want to get VIP, $40,000 to sit in front of the ring.
Oh, my gosh.
Community ball can be expensive.
Yeah, community ball, too. You know, that's a big event, too, that happens this weekend. But
We did a community ball where they were like, hey, let's go ahead and take donations. Does anyone want to donate $250,000? Yeah. Somebody raised their paddle. I almost fell on the ground.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, wow.
As much as I love helping and I love giving to people in need, I dream of moments where I could do that.
Yes.
And it just, nothing, you know, dropping the bucket for me.
Yeah,
I can only dream of that. You know, it's like a fever dream. It's one of those that you wake up in a cold sweat and you're like, that happened. Oh, wait, no, I got to go to work in 2 hours. Nope, that did not happen. But those are the absolute worst because I believe them every time. But the most expensive weekend entails you got an F1 race. You've got a NASCAR race and the Met Gala all went down.
Yeah.
So there's a couple fun stories I'll get to here in a little bit about that. But the question of the day was inspired. You mentioned wrestling, Kevin. I saw this bit. It was actually two different clips on TikTok from CM Punk. He said on the McAfee show like months ago, he talked about this. And then he just recently did a sit down with GQ. And they did that 10 things that CM Punk can't live without.
Oh, yeah.
Little bit. And one thing that he carries with him every time he leaves the house, he has a legit first-generation iPod Touch. He still carries it around with him. And they're like, why? You have an iPhone. You don't need that. And he was like, I don't want to transfer everything over. I don't want to have to worry about stuff getting lost forever. It still works. I don't care. And he even told the story on McAfee that he shattered the screen a few months back. He was walking down the street in Chicago, saw one of those places that said, we fix technology. And dude looked at it at the counter. He's like, I can't fix this. This is 15 years old. And he goes, wait, you're CM Punk, right? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, give me 2 weeks. And he got it fixed. He got a new screen for it. Got it completely fixed. So, you know,
it had just been us.
Yeah, yeah. Been like,
yeah, it was just me. You know, yeah. Be like, oh man, yeah, who are you? Get out of here. No, buy a phone. So he refuses to get with the times and he stands on that. He's like, I have Apple Music on my phone and everything. It's just not the same. I will die on this hill. What is one thing that might be outdated or it might be unpopular, but you still use it daily, whatever it is, you stand by it, you will die on that hill that you are not switching? Because for me, I think of two. Apple Music is one. I get made fun of by my friends all the time for using Apple Music instead of Spotify. I don't care. I think Apple Music rules. I think it's great. And even though I'm not in school, they still give me a student discount. So I'm very happy about that. $5 a month. Hey, you can be as horrible as you want for $5 a month. I'm not going to complain. Number two, it can lead me to the seventh gate of hell. Apple Maps will forever be my go-to. Oh. I will not use Google Maps. I tried it once. I hated everything about it. Apple Maps, it is not the greatest, but I don't know why I'm so comfortable using it. I refuse to switch off of Apple Maps.
I like Google Maps a lot more. It works better for me. I've found there are times Apple Maps back in the day in Denton, for whatever reason, it would send me to the wrong side of Denton, and I'd be like, oh, what's happening here? So I would always be like, well, once I found Google Maps, I stuck with that. I'm going to have to say my Hotmail account.
Oh, that's a good one.
Usually whenever people ask for my email address, I say cjmajors@hotmail.com.
Hotmail.
Yes, I still use Hotmail. And so that's my Hotmail account. That's, you know, your company account, they can let you go at any point. You don't have that stuff.
That's true.
So you got to keep your secondary account for the important stuff.
So the Hotmail account is a good answer.
Yeah.
My answer, of course, is my paper checkbook. I am never going to be done with my paper checkbook. It works incredibly well. And I go back to a story that I don't know if I'm supposed to say this person's name or not, but they had an overdraw in their bank account. And they were like,
me? I get it.
No. And they were like, it was the bank's fault. They didn't put a transaction on it. I was like, no, idiot. You need to know that you made that transaction. All right. So that's fine. The bank can have their own number. I got my number. I trust my number. And I just need the bank to confirm it.
Huh. Okay. I like that because for big purchases, you know, like whatever, I put a down payment on a car, I use a paper checkbook. I still, like, I have one. But any kind of what I would call a micro transaction, if it's daily, if it's giving someone a gift, I don't do the checks. I only do it for massive things. Like, I wrote checks in college, you know, to pay off any remaining balances at the end of the semester. I would do that. But I don't hate that one. I really don't hate that one. I know a lot of people that still do. I have a lot of family members that when the birthday rolls around, I get a check in the mail.
And I was going to say, I use the checkbook, but I don't really write checks. I just use the checkbook as like my ledger.
Sure. And I'm trying to think of some other stuff because there's a lot of things that I think I still refuse to move on from. Like, I saw somebody text in and they said older shoes. They can be chores, like for chores. You know, and that's what I
do. My gardening shorts.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about that before.
Yeah, my gardening shorts are very important. I don't throw them away. Actually, guess what? Threw them away. The other day, needed to do some gardening. Didn't have any shorts to garden in.
Did you garden?
I just threw on some gym shorts. Actually, threw on a swimsuit. Then when I was done gardening, just jumped in the pool. It was nice.
I don't know why, but I really just hope it looked like it does right now outside when you were doing that too. So you're just in a swimsuit and it's just pitch black outside. That would be amazing. But I do that with my running shoes and my gym shoes. Is as soon as I'm like, okay, these aren't really comfortable for moving weight or for running long distance, they turn into my lawn mowing shoes. That's like my current yard shoes now are a pair of Nike Pegasus that I used to run in. I used to practice, and I'm pretty sure in high school. Like, I've had them forever now. But from the 817, I still got my Hotmail, too. This will make you feel better about my age, Corey. You know what my first email address was? Domain?
Was it AOL?
Oh, it was a Roadrunner account.
Oh, really?
It was tx.rr.com.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was my first email that my dad made for me. And he was like, you can use this. Just don't sign up for a bunch of BS, you know? I don't know if it's still in existence. And Kevin, you'll like the name. It was ob-1@tx.rr.com.
I love it. Although, and maybe this is a separate segment, do you have any older email addresses that you're not proud of? Because, like, you just establish your email address and maybe you're like 15 or 16 and then you're
Everyone I've ever done has been pretty consistent with my name because my name's so unique.
Me too.
The way it's spelled.
Good for you. I feel like mine's somewhat basic.
Hold on, Kevin. He's trying to get away with this.
No.
Yeah.
What's the email account that was, you know?
I feel like it's probably not suitable for air.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll find out in about 4 minutes.
Something, something, 6969, probably. Like, I guarantee
That's your password.
It's not my password.
Huh. We're just spilling everything now. I like that. For the 214, shoehorn for the dress shoes.
Oh.
I've never used a shoehorn.
I own one.
You do?
I've never used it.
Oh.
Is that to help you put your shoes on?
Yeah.
It's not to keep them like stretched out while you're not wearing them or whatever. It's like, to help you slide your shoe in.
Yeah, there are some that you can't, like I do have some in my Jordans or like my, like some of the different shoes that I have that have like leather on the toe box. So I don't want them to get creased or whatever. I'll put those like in a pair of Dunks. Like I have some that I don't want to get super creased. So I have shoehorns that literally just prop up the toe box and like the arch of the shoe and keep it straight. But I do have one that's actually meant for just helping you put shoes on. I've never used it, but I have it if I need it. If I get some really, you know, fancy like red bottoms or something, whenever, ooh, you know, I get big time or whatever, if that ever happens, you know, that would be ideal. But I don't have any shoes that I need a lot of help getting into. I have a lot of shoes that I kind of tie once and I never tie again because I just slide them off and slide them on. So, I mean, I think it's pretty simple. I think that's the best way to live too. I don't like tying shoes over and over again. This is what I like. This is a kind of commitment from the 469. I have a stapler from the 70s. You can't break that thing.
How often do you need a stapler?
A lot more than you would think.
Yeah, I agree.
Really, y'all do?
Yeah.
Yes. I only ever need a stapler that one time and I don't have it. Like, it's always maybe once a year I need a stapler. And I'm like, crap, where's my stapler at?
This is where I'm so glad.
I wish I had a swing line.
Yes, that Jess is a teacher. Because
yeah,
she
has,
that's
she
a cheat code.
And she has a laminating machine. And like, I don't know if I would ever need that.
You have a paper cutter?
Oh, yeah.
The huge one with the thing?
No, not with the murder thing on it.
Dude, that's, I'm telling you, zombie apocalypse. I'm finding a paper cutter, taking that thing off, and carrying it around as machete. Be ready.
That's actually smart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. Good job, Majors. I saw skinny jeans come in from the 682. I'm wearing jeans for the first time in like 8 months today, and I don't feel right.
Who are you trying to impress?
Nobody. I just finally found a pair of jeans that fit. I have a weird build, okay? Like, like if you haven't seen me in person, I have like I'm 5'7", but I have a longer torso. So finding jeans that fit right, especially because I've put on weight in a good manner, I don't find jeans. They're either way too tight or they're way too baggy.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I've given up on the skinny jean route because they're just like spandex at that point on me because my quads are a little bit too big for
your
that kind of game.
Now, yeah.
Not so much. I'm trying to get there, though. Keep those coming in, 877-881-1053. Some antiquated things or just unpopular things that you use and you will stand by forever. So, talked about the most expensive weekend of the calendar year. You have the big F1 race, but you also have the Met Gala, too. So I have a story from each. From the F1 scene, the U.S. Coast Guard was called to the coast of Miami Beach over the weekend as a group of 34 influencers were out there for the F1 festivities. They climbed onto a $4 million Lamborghini yacht.
Oh.
Which ended up tipping and sinking because they put too many people on it. So everybody was safe. Nobody had really any injuries to report from the Coast Guard, but whoever owns that $4 million Lamborghini yacht is now out of a yacht that can go 63 knots.
Yeah.
And has 5 guest rooms throughout. This is a bigger yacht. That's a lot of money to put down just to watch it sink. And then something just totally ridiculous from the Met Gala. You see all the wild, dumb, like different fashion statements that people are making, which I say dumb in a like positive way because I could never do that. One, I have no fashion sense. Two, I don't have the money for that stuff. Jeff Goldblum, he's one of my favorite people to watch out for at the Met Gala every year because he's really subtle with his outfits. They're nice. You can tell it's a lot of money, but it's nothing too flashy, nothing too fancy. Something hiding literally up his sleeve. He was wearing a Jacob & Co. watch that's called the Ahsoka Boutique.
Ooh.
Is Jacob the jeweler that Kanye is always talking about? Is that who?
Oh, dear.
Jacob & Co.?
I'm scared if it is, but I think you're right.
Oh, dear.
This watch features 162 diamonds on it. $740,000. That he was wearing on his wrist.
That's what he was paid to do the fly.
That's
joking, Kevin. I don't know how much
he's
paid.
There's no way he made that much money to do the fly.
Just think about how many things in your life, in your family's life, in your close friend's life that don't even come close to that price tag. Like, there are houses out there that you can buy that are really nice houses that don't even cost that.
It's not even that big of a watch.
It's not. It's really, it's not even the craziest watch you've ever seen, but it's still just over $700,000. Ridiculous stuff. So, hey, if you're going to buy a $4 million yacht, don't put 34 people on it, especially TikTokers. That feels like a recipe for disaster.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, don't worry, everybody, it was strictly a football decision. Next on The Fan.
59-yard attempt for Tucker. And the kick is no good. Wide right for Tucker.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
You know how yesterday we talked about how the NFL draft is going to be at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. in 2027.
Yeah, the National Mall of Americas.
That's a different place. Do yourself a favor. If you like people watching and you like facial expressions, go back and watch the entirety of that like little press conference with President Trump, but don't watch him. Watch Roger Goodell in the background, because he's there to do an announcement about the draft.
Right.
But there's going to be a lot of other.
And he runs a very serious business.
He does.
It's got to be very on point all the time.
This speech hit on a lot of non-NFL based things.
Okay.
And a couple of different times, the president looks back at Goodell to be like, you know what I'm saying, right? And it's just amazing. Just watch it. Because Goodell's like, hey, we're going to announce the draft. Hopefully we'll have a million people there. And then like other political stuff gets in the mix. And it is just amazing to watch.
I'm going to watch it right now.
Really? Well, if you can wait till like
I can watch the commercial and break. Listen to you at the same time.
Okay. But I swear, I'm going to look at you for something. And you're going to be like, I'm sorry, what did you say? By the way, we talked about how Eli Manning was looking to buy a minority stake in the Giants. Apparently, Michael Strahan is as well. And there might not be room for both of them. Might be like the Highlander. There can only be one more.
I don't know that that's the case.
Okay. Well, there is some.
Like, I feel like they're going to say, yes, please buy as much of the team as possible.
There is situations. Thought that they're only going to sell to one more minority owner for now. And so then maybe those bids would be in competition. In case you care, Shedeur Sanders is going to wear number 12 for the Cleveland Browns.
If well, good he makes for him. The team. Has Abdul Carter figured out a number yet?
Oh, I don't think he has.
He's still stuck in a bad situation. I saw somebody say yesterday the Giants need to step in on his behalf now. And like really like, he's getting turned down by two different former players, dude.
I mean, take Jeff Hostetler's number. Surely that's not been retired, right? He won as many Super Bowls as Phil Sims.
There's got to be another number
out there. As a starting quarterback.
Yeah,
just look.
There's plenty of numbers.
Yeah, take his number. Or
at this point, go with triple digits, you know? Really make that number shine. Go with 100.
I don't think
have it at an angle or something.
Or yeah, take his number or Dave Meggett's number. Just pick somebody that like they were a good player, but their jersey's probably not retired, right?
Probably not.
What, you don't think I just made that name up, don't
no,
you?
No, I know Dave Meggett. I remember him. I just feel like there was a story.
Oh, no. Did he do something bad?
Ex-NFL player Meggett gets 30 years in prison in 2010.
Oh,
I'm gonna need to find the rest of that story.
Oh,
so yeah, maybe you
no.
don't want his number either.
All right.
22.
So that's why I said take Hostetler's number first, and let's not worry about the other thing that I said. All right. Let's go from that to Justin Tucker. So Justin Tucker,
he played for the Giants. Yeah, his number.
Well, he might have also done something bad. Here's the thing, Eric DaCosta. I usually feel like the Ravens are on point when it comes to NFL front office stuff. This one feels a little bit tone deaf. So Justin Tucker is going to be a post June 1st cut. There right now are 16 massage therapists who have accused Justin Tucker of inappropriate sexual behavior. Now, Justin Tucker has denied the allegations, but this is the statement from DaCosta. Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult to make, and this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we've had to make the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. Justin has created blah, 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 blah. He's great. So if this was a football decision, why wouldn't they just compete in training camp if you're going to designate him as a post-June 1st cut anyway?
It's not a football decision.
What? I need to read you that first sentence again?
Let's go to our friend Trey Wingo, Kevin.
Okay.
His Twitter account, Wingos with a Z.
You got to love that.
It's a quote, "If he was still as good as he used to be at football, we'd probably stand by him, but he isn't, and there's that other issue decision."
That's true.
That's what this really is like, he had some misses, some big-time misses last year. It looks like he's starting to fall off. And we also, this thing is a glaring problem, and so we're just going to step away from the whole thing and blame it on football.
This is not a new thing, but is it weird that NFL teams, or just teams and businesses in general, their interest in due process is based on how good you are at your job?
Yeah.
Like, if he's the best kicker in the league, they'd be like,
let's see how long we can ride this thing out. Yeah.
But when he misses, they're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, what was the, remember Ray Rice? Ravens again.
Yeah.
He was at a place where he was starting to get the decline. And that became a big part of the conversation was, it's an easy out for them right now.
Yeah.
They're not hurting themselves by moving on from him.
You know, and that's what made the case study of Wander Franco so fascinating, because this is somebody who, like, Tampa was like, this is our guy. This is going to be our franchise player. And then they're like, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate, like, that they did that when a lot of these teams are like, if you're not that good anymore, then we'll definitely stand up for whatever we think is right. By the way, NFL.com, they put out a comp pick projection for every NFL team, and they have the Cowboys down as a team that will receive one compensatory pick in the fifth round. The Dallas Cowboys have had comp picks, I believe, in the last seven drafts. And so NFL.com is projecting that the Cowboys will have a fifth round comp pick coming up next year.
That's pretty cool. Can I get more of those?
I mean, I think it's too late for the next comp pick cycle.
I'll let it ride with these then.
But after that.
Pretty happy with this.
What's the highest compensatory pick you can get a third rounder?
I think so.
Okay. Because, like, couldn't you see some weirdo world where the Cowboys thought they were smarter than everybody and they let Micah Parsons go because they're like, shh. You didn't even get it. Dude. We're about to get a first round comp pick, and you're like, you could have gotten so much more.
Then they come back after they find out, and they're like, this is a third round draft, guys. This is where the third round is really where we're going to make an impact this year.
Oh, let's talk about not drafting quarterbacks in the middle round. So earlier today, Quinn Ewers' agent was on with Sean and RJ. And go ahead.
By the way, it looks like Brett Boone will be on with them tomorrow at 9:20.
9:20. So he's going to stay in his usual spot. I love it.
So congratulations to Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show.
Now, they got Quinn Ewers' agent to call in this morning. And he was talking about a variety of things about why he thinks Quinn Ewers fell. But I was reading an article on Fox Sports before I even knew he was going to be on. That was really interesting to me. So throughout the 21st century, so the year 2000 through 2023, in rounds 2, 3, and 4, there was an average of 3.75 quarterbacks picked.
Okay.
So you got an average of, you know, give or take about one every round and maybe a second one in one of those rounds. In the last two drafts, there were only three. So now.
Total?
In 2, 3, and 4.
Gotcha.
And so I wanted to see if you had a hypothesis, because I have a couple of theories about why that is.
Well, I'm really, maybe because the level of play just drops off so much after the first round anyway, and they always typically do find a reach somewhere at the back end of the first round or somewhere in the middle too. So, and then they're trying to fill up the rest of their roster, and then this guy is probably going to be a backup after that.
Okay. I think that is a valid hypothesis.
That's just off the top of my head.
My new hypothesis is it's because second, maybe even third rounders have been pushed in the first round to get that extra year of potential control. Quarterback is the most expensive position. So I do kind of wonder if there's been, like, Jackson Dart this year, if there's been some quarterbacks that have been, like, elevated into the first round because you're like, look, if he hits, now I've got that fifth-year option and I don't have to pay.
Which you're still going to have to battle with his agent at some point.
For sure, yes. For sure. But at least it's not going to be, like, as bad. And so my theory is you're going to continue to see that and you're going to see an acceleration of quarterbacks into the first round so they can get that fifth-year option.
That's a very fair theory, Kevin. I like it.
Thank you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, are the prospects for the Cowboys upcoming season just kind of boring? Next on The Fan.